Good afternoon. My name is Nav Dasgupta, and this is a presentation on looking at the different types of surveillance systems that are used to detect when we think we have a problem with opioid poisonings. And to give you a little piece of context, I'm sure most of you are familiar with this graph or similar ones, but the rate of an unintentional drug-related poisonings, so what we usually call overdose, in the United States has increased very dramatically starting in about the early 90s, similar to the data that we just saw. At the same time, suicides have remained flat and undetermined intent has gone up just a little bit. So when we say overdose, this is a very sloppy word, but when we usually look at overdoses on death certificates as the way to count how many deaths we have in the population. But if you ask, if you do a survey of active users or recent users, the data from Australia and Scotland suggests that the past year prevalence of experiencing an overdose is about 30 times higher than the number of overdoses on death certificates. Mm-hmm. And recent data from Utah suggests that the number of overdose deaths are about the number of ED admissions due to overdoses are about 3 times higher than the number of deaths. So we don't have a good idea of what we're getting when we look at the different surveillance systems. And here's a few of them. So drug user surveys are up here, and we're getting counting, 30 times higher than this. The FDA system gets a lot of terminal cancer patients, and those aren't exactly the population we're worried about, because we're also looking at prescription opioids, not just heroin here. Poison centers is what we're going to look at in this presentation, and I'm not exactly sure where to put that bar, so I stuck it in the corner, but I think it's probably a fairly accurate place for it. So EMS, for example, has gets a lot of pre-hospitalization, and if you talk to EMS or if you've worked on EMS, you know that most times you administer naloxone is for people who just think they're too high and not necessarily because they've overdosed. So just to summarize that, drug user surveys are high-risk population, and they're good for surveillance because that's where a lot of the problems are, but they're a retrospective self-report, and we're only obviously getting the survivors. But poison center, so in general, administrative data like hospital, emergency department admissions, and EMS calls are usually the more clinically complicated cases. There's fear of criminal prosecution for people who enter that system, and there's also a cost issue associated with it. There's also a reporting delay. So for most of us, most systems around the country, and the data for overdoses doesn't become available until months, if not years, down the line from when the problems actually occur. Poison centers have a advantage in that they update their central database about once every 20 minutes. So if we could use poison center calls for doing surveillance, then this might increase our ability to detect a problem in a time frame where we could actually do an intervention. So the two research questions that I examined were, what are the differences between poison center calls and decedents for methadone poisoning? And can poison center data be used to predict poisoning mortality due to methadone? And I chose methadone and prescription opioids. So first of all, prescription opioids, because these data came from the RADAR system, which is the Research Abuse, R-A-D, Diversion, no, it's Research Addiction Abuse and Diversion Related Surveillance System. I know I screwed that up, sorry. It's a nationwide surveillance system to detect prescription opioid abuse problems, and they have different signal detection systems. And they have, we looked at 17 states in this analysis. They're up to almost 80% or 90% coverage of all the poison center calls in the country. Okay. And methadone I chose specifically because we knew that this is a current problem, but also because of the ICD-10 coding on death certificate data. Methadone is the only prescription opioid that has its own category. So we're going to be looking at I'm merging data from three different systems, and so let me talk you through these real quick. The death certificate data came from CDC, and so this is the national all deaths, multiple cause of death mortality file, and that's coded in ICD-10. And the categories I used were unintentional poisoning, intentional poisoning, undetermined intent, and used the injury code for methadone to identify the methadone-related deaths. And I can give you those code numbers if you're interested in repeating the analysis. That gave us about 700 decedents, and this is for 17 states in the year 2003. I'll show you which states they are on the next slide. The radar system, we looked at the human exposure calls, and we got these data from the American Association of Poison Control Centers. Now, for those of you who are familiar with poison center data, we used only the intentional exposure calls, okay? Now, there's a vocabulary and semantic problem here between intentional versus unintentional exposure and intentional versus unintentional overdose. So for the poison center folks, the phrase unintentional exposure includes abuse, intentional misuse, intentional unknown withdrawal, and suicide. So this is the same thing as intentional and unintentional poisonings. So basically we're getting suicides and abuse, okay? But this is a nomenclature problem that was very confusing for us going back and forth. So anyways, we ended up with about 400 of those. And the denominator that we use for rate calculation, well, we didn't want to use just the population level population because we know that there are differences in the medical use and prescriptive availability of methadone in the different states we're looking at. So instead, we used the number of patients filling a prescription for methadone as a denominator. So in this way, we're kind of controlling for availability, we think. I'm supposed to make the caveat statement that patients is supposed to be in quotes because some of the people filling prescriptions might not be getting them for legitimate reasons, and they shouldn't be called patients. That's what the lawyer said before I clear the slides. And so these are only methadone that's dispensed in pharmacies and not in methadone maintenance treatment programs, which is a limitation of this study. But if you look at the volume of methadone prescribed for pain management, it swamps and just outweighs by orders of magnitude, by two or three orders of magnitude, the amount of methadone dispensed in methadone maintenance programs. Okay? So here are the states in the analysis, and these are states that were participating in the radar system in 2003. So one thing I want to point out is that we have quite a bit of most of Appalachia, and we have northern New England, which we know are two areas where there has been very public problems with prescription opioids, and specifically methadone. Okay, so analysis. We used calendar year 2003, and we analyzed by quarter because that's the reporting cycle for radars at the moment. We used state-level analyses because the CDC wouldn't give us the data for a more granular analysis, despite repeated written requests to them. We are going to show you some descriptive statistics. The regression models, which I'm not going to show you the whole modeling process, but if you want to see them, we have the slides to show you later on. But we use P-scale Poisson regression to account for dispersion. We use generalized estimating equations to deal with differences between the different poison centers. And we adjusted the poison center data for penetrance, which is the number of calls per unit population. So, which varies about 5 per 100,000 to 12 per 100,000 between the different states. So it just gives you an idea of in some states people are more likely to call poison centers in general than other states, so we were able to account for that. And then we performed a simple sensitivity analysis to look at underreporting of methadone deaths on death certificates as well. Okay, so the first question is, what are the differences between poison center calls and the decedents? So a previous analysis had said that the people who overdose don't end up being notified to poison centers. So we weren't sure if there was something else going on or who it is that the poison centers, who it is that poison are actually calling poison centers. So first in the age, this is on the dark black line are the poison center callers, and the dotted black line are the decedents. So what we see is that the poison center callers are younger, and they're both bimodally shaped, reflecting underlying population demographics. But poison center callers tend to be younger considerably than the people who actually die from a methadone overdose. Looking at sex in the place of injury, poison center callers are more likely to be female than the decedents, and poison center callers are more likely to be calling from their own home than are the decedents as well. So already we're getting to see a sketch in our heads of the difference between these two populations. In terms of the disposition, well, we know that what's interesting to me is this number here. This about 30% of the poison center callers reported having an exposure to methadone, but not really, or having a minor effect, or having a self-resolving effect that didn't require medical attention. Whereas, by definition, we can say that all methadone deaths required medical attention. So we're beginning to see something that's a little bit different than in between the poison center callers and the decedents. So the poison center callers are younger, more female, more likely to be at home, and less likely to require medical attention. Now, these, again, are just limited to the intentional exposure calls and the poison centers, and these are not the pill identification calls that are sometimes used as well. We didn't use the pill identification calls because there's variation between which states allow pill identification calls, and we find that pill identification calls are good for detecting early abuse problems, but not sustained abuse problems later on. So the second question we had was, can we use these data to predict the mortality due to methadone? And by predict, we're saying that because the poison center data come out much quicker than the medical examiner data or the coroner data, that maybe we can use these to quantify. And we just saw that there's differences between the poison center deaths and the poison center calls and the deaths. And so we're not implying a causal relationship between the people who are calling the poison centers and the people who end up dead. We're saying, okay, we have these data, what do they mean, and maybe we can use them. So here's a shot at the raw data, and there's two characteristics. One is you can see that there's some sort of linear trend, possibly, but the other thing that you're seeing is that there's a lot of zeros here, okay? And so what this means is that on this axis, is the poison center calls, and then on this axis is the poisoning deaths. And so there are states that did not receive any calls to their poison center for methadone deaths. And we performed the analysis with them and without them and used a zero-inflated model to look at this. But I'm not going to show you those results because we had trouble with the variance because of the denominator that we used. That has its own standard error. So to incorporate that standard error into a zero-inflated model required some very advanced biostatistics that were not something that we were wanting to present yet. So what we did was basically did the same thing as zero inflated model does, which is to parse out the events that had no calls and separate those from the events that do have calls and look at those events that do have calls separately. So what we found is that there's a 13.4% increase for every unit change in the rate. And so I'll just read this and then I'll explain it a little bit. There was a 13.4% increase in mortality with each unit increase in the rate of poison center exposure calls, adjusting for penetrance, clustering, and among poison centers receiving at least one call. So what this means is when you're getting increases in calls in your poison center, you can expect about a 13% increase in calls in deaths down the line. So and the confidence interval excludes zero, so we know these results are significant in those terms. We played with different models. We used different models to figure out the right looking at overdispersion using negative binomial models instead of Poisson models, and using different matrices, exchangeable matrix, independent matrix for the GEE modeling, and the findings were pretty stable across all those models. This one delivered us with the tightest confidence interval, so we're choosing to present this one. So we performed a sensitivity analysis, and basically what we did here, so that 13% is this point estimate here on the left, okay? And what this axis is telling you is, of the remaining prescription opioid deaths, how many of those could have been attributable to methadone, but were not properly attributed to methadone. Okay, so if 100% of the prescription of the non-methadone prescription opioid deaths were attributed to methadone, then we would get results that crossed the threshold of crossed the null, and we would say that results were not significant. But it takes about 70% or so of the missing of if sorry 70% of the prescription opioid deaths were incorrectly not attributed to methadone is the point at which we would say that, okay, our results aren't valid. So basically, there's a missing at random assumption, and where about 38% of all the prescription opioid deaths were attributable to methadone during the study period in these states. So if we assume that of the remaining unclassified prescription opioid deaths, that 38% of those were due to methadone, then we would see, then it would be over here, and the ratio would get the rate of increase would go down to 12%. So we're not seeing a huge difference between 12%, 13%. So we're pretty confident in our findings that the traditional problem with death certificates is underreporting, that we have some idea of how much that would affect our results. Okay. So yes, we can find a predictable pattern here, and the findings are robust to concerns about underreporting. Okay, so the limitations. Well, this is an ecological study, but that's the nature of surveillance studies. And this was kind of an effort to try to explain the different data systems that we have and start a dialogue about, well, when we compare numbers from DAWN, from emergency departments, from this and that, who it is that we're actually getting at. The radar system poison centers are covered about 30% of the U.S. population, so we are missing some major states, and that could have affected our results. I mentioned the zero-inflated model problem. And the hypothesis that I'm coming to after looking at this is that, do you think it's possible that young females at home are a sentinel population for surveillance for prescription opioid overdoses? And that's I think that's the most cohesive explanation of our findings. The other limitations are that we didn't look at suicides versus non-suicide separately, but when we did look at, we looked at that a little bit, but it just didn't present it, but it didn't show significantly different results. So so maybe that's something to look into in the future. The rate denominator included, the denominator didn't include methadone maintenance patients, but the numerator could have. So that would affect our results, and but the relative rates wouldn't change. So, and then there's well-known limitations of death certificate data in terms of underreporting, but I think our sensitivity analysis gave us some confidence to be able to say that those weren't a huge problem. So in summary, poison center callers were more likely to be younger female at home and less likely to require medical attention than those who actually died from methadone overdoses during the study period. So I think it's safe to say that poison center data have utility in trying to predict trends in poisoning mortality for prescription opioids, and there's this 13% increase that we were able to quantify. So then I would really like to understand who is calling poison centers, who's coming into the EDs, and who's actually dying. Because I think these are three separate populations that we tend to lump together when we start talking about overdose statistics. And, you know, so further characterization of the different systems is needed, and better data on overdose is needed in general, because we don't have surveillance systems that are designed for non-fatal overdose in the United States. Thank you.